Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We are very happy to continue our new regular feature on the roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It is our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. We do this every other week. This morning, we spotlight the Civil War sesquicentennial. Sesquicentennial is how they pronounce it. The New York Council for the Humanities offers reading and discussion programs about the Civil War and Lincoln's speeches. David Carlyon is a writer and an independent scholar. He has a PhD in theater history from Northwestern University. And I just say this because I'm incredibly jealous. He was a clown with Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. How cool is that? Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I know we have a million things to discuss about the Civil War, and I promise I'll get to that in just a second. But how cool is it to be a clown?
Extremely. Absolutely. It was hard work. The road was hard. Learning how to do it well was hard. All those things were hard, but that's what made it fun when things started to click.
And if I'm, I mean, I don't think I'm being overly generous in saying that. If you make it to Ringling Brothers, I mean, you're at the top of the heap. That's the best that it gets for a clown, I would think.
Oh, I've got lots of friends who are independent clowns who would disagree with you vehemently. It is the top in terms of public recognition.
Yeah.
In terms of the kinds of work people do, there is good work done on Ringling. There is good work done in little venues in small places that few people have heard of, but is darn powerful.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure as far as the work goes, but as far as, yes, as recognition, but it's still a dream gig for someone who is interested in doing that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, now let us talk about what you came here to talk about, and that is,
okay.
And that is the Civil War and Lincoln's speeches and the Council for the Humanities looking to talk about this issue of the Civil War sesquicentennial. And so give us a sense of when you go out and talk about this, of putting that in context and telling people of why this battle is so significant.
Well, it's a combination of two big impulses. The first one is the one we're all familiar with, the patriotism of it, and the kind of, how do I put this? Neutral, it was a battle, and it changed the Civil War in some ways. But at another level, anything you say about the Civil War is a controversy.
Yeah.
I mean, to say that the Battle of Gettysburg was a decisive turning point in the Civil War immediately raises hackles among, I'd say, a quarter of your listeners right now. But the Battle of Gettysburg was the last chance for the South to get diplomatic recognition. It was their last major incursion into the North. After that, the last 2 years of the Civil War, which is why some people say it wasn't a turning point, it lasted two more years, but it was turned mostly into a defensive battle on their home turf. So it was powerfully important. And so when I go around the state, when I'm giving my talks, I'm both dealing with the patriotism and the lovely glowing words of Lincoln's address and the importance of the Battle of Gettysburg, but I'm also talking about the ideas behind it and tilting a bit at the various myths about Lincoln and the address.
So let us talk about that for a moment, because yes, we talk about the battle, we talk about the Battle of Gettysburg and its significance, but of course the Gettysburg Address is something that rings with many of us and something that we learned a lot about in school, or hopefully we did. And So when we talk about the importance of that address and ultimately how it is, it has held up and how relevant it remains, it's pretty incredible.
Oh, yes. Incredible is almost precisely the right word. Partly because the Supreme Court decisions this week are filtered through our understanding of the arguments that Lincoln was addressing in 1863. What does the American democracy mean? What are the limits? What are the promises? And what standards do we use? That's what the Supreme Court was talking about this week, and that's what Lincoln was dealing with in 1863.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but just one quick point of and when you talk about the Supreme Court, we look at both cases. We look at the gay rights cases, but we also look about the Voting Rights Act. And for every step forward, there's a couple steps back.
If you're left or right, this is a week of extreme frustration and extreme exaltation.
Right.
And again, that's what Lincoln was dealing with, in effect. I mean, the Gettysburg Address is what we all learned in civics classes or from the general culture. It is this incredibly moving prose poem to American democracy and the meaning and hope of the United States. And it is clearly that. Lincoln was our best writer and probably our deepest thinker as a president. Jefferson was a deep thinker. Grant wrote a great memoirs, but Lincoln was incredible. And decades of his thoughts about America, the Constitution, what democracy means, went into that speech. At the same time, it was a fervently partisan speech because he was taking dead aim at the Confederacy's fundamental principles. He said 47 years ago, which referred 87 years back to the Declaration of Independence. He also ended "of the people, by the people, for the people." The Declaration of Independence famously starts, "We the people," or rather famously relies on "All men are created equal." So he was referring to the Declaration of Independence. That's significant, and it was a partisan statement because the South said the country was founded when the states got together to agree to the Constitution. And why did they found it on the Constitution? Because the Constitution allowed slavery. Yes, they talked about states' rights, and states' rights is still obviously a significant issue, but the right they were looking for is the right to hold their slaves. As I said, anything I say is controversial. Those whose hackles are raised now probably has risen to about 40% among your listeners.
So with that statement that you just made, what, as you travel the state, giving your talks, what is the reaction? What kinds of questions and reflections are you hearing from New Yorkers when you say what you're saying?
It's a combination of two different things. People come to the talks curious. They are curious people who go to various talks. They want to learn more about their world. And so they take it in and go, that's interesting. And we discuss it. Some seem persuaded, others seem dubious, and then it spreads. And I don't know how it spreads. It's just kind of out there. There are others who come because they have a strong interest in and belief about what the Civil War was, what it means. So they tend to slot what I'm saying either into agreement or disagreement. Sometimes I'm able to persuade people who have thought differently about it, but there are a lot of people out there who have strong feelings about the Civil War and that it was really about this or really about that. So if I say that Lincoln was arguing against the South and founding this new birth of freedom that he mentions in the speech based on the Declaration of Independence and then based on the Civil War. He was saying we have to keep coming closer to the American ideal, that the Constitution, for instance, was a draft, just as the Articles of Confederation before it was a draft, just as the various proposal measures to protect slavery were a draft, and we're moving closer and closer to the ideal, so that when your guest earlier, Kristen, talking about WHAM and
yes.
women's empowerment, Lincoln had no brief for women's suffrage. I mean, he didn't have an opinion about it. It just people didn't think about women voting, particularly except a few activists. On the other hand, if I can do a little dodgy historical stuff and suggest that Lincoln probably wouldn't have been surprised by the steps taken, because in his notion, we're moving closer and closer to the ideal. All men, translation, all people are created equal. And what you think about that is what you see in the dissents and the majority opinions in the cases this week on the Supreme Court. What does American democracy mean? That's exactly what Lincoln was arguing about in a very poetic, almost sweet way.
When you have these discussions and you look at the significance of sesquicentennial, how mm-hmm. do we remember these events 150 years later?
Again, the same split. A lot of it is general patriotism. It was the most important event, maybe second most important event in American life, the first being the Revolution itself. It helped keep us as a single nation. That's significant in any number of ways. And so there is a general celebratory vibe to the whole thing. And I personally like that. I think that's wonderful that we celebrate our democracy for all its flaws and for all our disagreements. At the same time, there is that other aspect, the controversial aspect, and that is people believe that, on one hand, states' rights are being trammeled and that the Constitution and the words of the Constitution and original intent mean what they say, and we need stronger states' rights. Other people say there is a larger, growing sense of progress, and we can't be held hostage to the dead hand of tradition, and that was a fight led by the Revolution in the first place, by Lincoln, and by activists since then. So, as I say, talking about the Gettysburg Address, you seem to be just starting with general patriotism, but pretty soon, if you look at it carefully, you're into fights we are still having, and will continue to have. I mean, that's part of the wonder of American democracy, that there is this push and pull, this tug, this constant tug that helps keep us vibrant.
David Carwyan is a speaker in the humanities for the New York Council for the Humanities. You can find out more about the council as well as the great work they do all year round and are doing specifically regarding the sesquicentennial of the Gettysburg, the Battle of Gettysburg. You can find out more by going to nyhumanities.org, nyhumanities.org. David, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure, and I thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. A pleasure for me.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.